News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings, and Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, brought to you by Bryant Bank. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, guys. What a rather weird weekend.
Yeah, it was a weird weekend, and maybe not the best SEC lineup we've seen, but thankfully some good games are on the way. I wanted to start this morning with a talk about something that's not necessarily, you know, related to what happens on the field, but I guess in a way it is, and that's these vaccine mandates that are starting to come down for some of these universities. And Paul, here in Alabama, there's been big discussion about Auburn coach Brian Harsin and whether or not he's vaccinated. And some journalists here are making a pretty big deal about why they feel that matters. Do you think that this will cause an issue for some of these teams this season or maybe even next season?
Well, I think it's an important issue because of what happened in Washington with Washington State coach Nick Rolovich, who was fired recently because he had not taken the vaccine, and the state mandated that he did. I don't think in Harsin's case it's going to affect things very much. I mean, I know what the law is, but I think the politics of Alabama, as you guys know, is significantly different.
It is, for sure. And now if we get on the football field with Auburn, they've got a big game, Ole Miss coming in. It's going to be a beautiful night on the Plains. Should be a sellout crowd. I think Auburn's feeling better about their team suddenly. Can they score enough, and then can they slow down Ole Miss?
That's a really big question, and I think ultimately this is maybe the most important game of the year for Auburn because everyone's looking at this team and saying they've only lost two games. However, Ole Miss Saturday night, Texas A&M on the road next week, Alabama at home. So, you know, this season could either lift off into something spectacular or it really could crash and burn right here because if Auburn loses all three games, then we're kind of back to where we started with a 7-5 record.
Yeah, then a vaccination or non-vaccination actually becomes something that people will talk about a little more intently, I think.
Yeah, I think this is a winnable game, but I will say Matt Corral is probably the best quarterback in the country, and Bo Nix is hot and cold, and he better be very hot Saturday night.
Yeah, he better be. And I heard you talking earlier this week with Pittman, the coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks. He had some kind words for Bo Nix. It seems like he's kind of been able to turn his not just season but career around with some of his performances so far this year. With Auburn coming off the bye, and Ole Miss took care of LSU in a big way last weekend, but they've had some tough games here these last few weeks. How much do you think that bye benefits Auburn?
I think it could be the difference in the game because, yeah, think about this for Ole Miss. They had that brutal game with Tennessee, which went on forever and had the delay, and they won at the end. And then last week, of course, and now the Auburn game where, you know, Auburn's been sitting there resting up. And I think if Ole Miss has one deficiency, it's that Matt Corral is banged up. I was in Oxford last weekend, and they weren't sure he would play. Of course, he did. He was limited. And I think this is a really big moment of the year for them to be able to will their way through. So if we're talking next week about an Auburn win, I think it's exactly because of the physical condition of Ole Miss. Ole Miss looks like a better team, but that doesn't matter when you play on the road and you're not at full strength.
Paul, what's the temperature of the Alabama fan base right now? They had the bye week. They played pretty well at Mississippi State. But I've heard some people calling your show uncharacteristically almost conceding that this is not their year. I think that's crazy talk. It's a good team.
I mean, they may very well be the second best team in the country, but in Alabama, that's not good enough. And I think that's really the standard now that Saban has set. And, you know, remember, the Florida game was a near-death experience. Many felt like it was a loss. And then the A&M game was a death experience. So I think it goes week to week. Fans are still unhappy with Pete Golden. He's the defensive coordinator. They feel good about the offense. They don't feel as good as they did last year, but, you know, that happens when you have five or six first-rounders. And, And I think it's just a matter of navigating the next couple of weeks. I think everyone knows Auburn will be the most difficult regular season game, and then the Georgia game. And there are some who are saying, well, Georgia's too good. Well, you should know. If you're an Alabama fan and you've been down this road over 15 years with Nick Saban, you know better than to say that.
Yeah, speaking of Georgia, the game formerly known as the world's largest outdoor cocktail party coming up this weekend, and it's a big game for both teams for different reasons. Obviously, Georgia wants to keep on rolling and keep that number one status, but this feels like a huge week for Dan Mullen and job security. Am I wrong?
He is clearly losing his fan base, and most will argue, hey, he's safe. Don't worry about Dan Mullen. Well, try losing by two or three touchdowns to Georgia and see what and wake me up in the morning and see how I feel. I don't think he's in danger because he has done a good job overall, but we're talking about Florida here, and Florida fans have an inflated view of their program. They think they're on the same level with Alabama because they have won national championships under Spurrier. They won two under Urban Meyer. But, you know, Dan Mullen, good coach, but not an elite coach. And this game is going to really dictate, I think, how Florida fans feel the rest of the way.
Paul Feinbaum, Football Fridays with Paul Feinbaum, brought to you by Brian Bank. You had an interesting guest on your show this week, Paul. I don't know if he was a behavioral scientist or what he was, but he was talking about some people win because of I don't know, because of who they are. Others win despite themselves, or others succeed in life despite themselves. Like, they get in their own way. And he put Dan Mullen in that category. I thought that was interesting.
It was. He said Dan Mullen, blind spot is Dan Mullen. He can't see his own deficiencies. And I think he does get in the way. He's a cocky Northeasterner. Not that there's anything wrong with that. My parents are from the Northeast. Thankfully, I'm not. And I just think, you know, he's got that swagger, which is great when he's winning by big scores, but he's a terrible loser. And he really, if he's going to hang his hat on something over the last 4 or 5 years, it's beating Georgia last year. But that's one day. That's one game. That's 24 to 30 hours away from expiring, and I think that's really his problem. Program's going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it sure seems that way. With Georgia, meanwhile, program going in the right direction, and a Heisman contender at the beginning of the year, JT Daniels, obviously hasn't been playing these last few weeks. Stetson Bennett stepped in and did a great job in that role of quarterback. Is it easy, do you think, for Kirby to decide who starts, or do they have a real quarterback competition going on there?
I think he does have a dilemma because Stetson Bennett is running the team very well, and I sense he's going to go with him and bring JT in just to see what he looks like. I mean, since JT showed up there, he's played very little. I mean, he didn't play the first half of the last season. He has not played a lot this season. And don't forget, he was a Heisman contender. But this is the 2021 is the year you do not want to be a Heisman contender. He was a contender. Spencer Rattler, DJU from Clemson, and we haven't seen much of any of them lately.
And down on the bayou, they're looking for a coach, Paul. I know that your ears are to the train tracks. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I think what I'm hearing and what's reality may be two different things, but I still think there's a lot of conversation about Mel Tucker, who's at Michigan State, taking on Michigan this weekend. Other than that, I think you could almost just throw any name up against the wall and see if it sticks. But so far, I don't think any of them have, other than Mel Tucker.
You know, it seems like every fan base of blue chip programs feel that when they lose a coach, they can just reach out and grab another coach from some other school, even if they're really successful. LSU fans, how badly do they want Lane Kiffin? And could that, like, on what earth, could that actually happen? Could Lane Kiffin go to LSU?
I think it's possible, but not likely. Lane's already been to two SEC schools. Nobody has ever been to three, by the way. Paul Bryant coached at Texas A&M, Kentucky and Alabama, but you have to remember A&M was not in the SEC at the time. So I think he would be a compromise choice. For all of Lane's greatness, and I'm a fan, He doesn't go over well with every AD, and I think that could be his issue in Baton Rouge.
Paul, we got a slate of some pretty good games this weekend, so let's enjoy the football, and thanks for your input today.
Always a pleasure, guys. See you next week.
All right, see you then, Paul.
Paul Feinbaum, Football Fridays with Feinbaum. It's brought to you by Bryant Bank, by the way. So if you're looking for a personalized banking experience and you don't want to feel like you're just another number, okay, we get it. You need to switch to Bryant Bank. They're on both sides of the bay, by the way. Bryant Bank, they focus solely on you. You've got direct access to a banker and a banker that's going to sit down and understand what your situation is and help you negotiate your way through it. They can help you with all kinds of, well, standard banking services like personal and business loans, also checking and investment accounts and treasury management services. And if you're looking to purchase a home or refinance, Bryant Bank's got a very experienced team of mortgage lenders. They're ready to serve you right now. You can meet the team or you can apply online if you like. Visit Bryant Bank online, bryantbank.com/mortgage. Branches located in Daphne, Foley, Orange Beach, and on Airport Boulevard here in Mobile. Whatever branch it might be, the Bryant Bankers are always friendly, ready to serve you. Bryant Bank, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS. 582-857, Football Fridays with Paul Feinbaum.
Yeah, I want to thank Paul for coming on. Also, a texter letting us know about an accident, and Kane tweeting, accident with injuries blocking the right lane, I-10 eastbound on the Bayway near the 29-mile marker. He says, avoid if you can. Take the causeway. That's blocking the right lane, I-10 eastbound on the Bayway.
The KIB Bayway.
That's it.
It is 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings.
This news information update is brought to you by Next Gen Healthcare, combining diagnostic and the latest treatment methods to give you relief from your neuropathy with no drugs or surgery. Call Next Gen Healthcare today, 251-301-0875.
Got something to add to that. 822 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. Good morning.
Yeah, so slow going eastbound on the Bayway. And, I had it right here. I think they said it was near the 29-mile marker, right lane. Here you go. I'll give it to you from Kane. Accident with injuries blocking the right lane, I-10 eastbound on the Bayway. Avoid if you can. Take the causeway.
Okay.
Is that twice this week? Or was it last week? I-10 was...
That's twice this week.
So bad? Oh, man.
Twice this week.
Yeah, because you called it the KIV Bayway.
KIV Bayway, yeah.
I forgot about that.
We will honor our governor. And looks like... And we can keep honoring her because looks close to a slam dunk. She's going to win again.
Yeah.
So she's going to be our governor. We can continue to honor her by naming the Bayway after her.
Yeah. And it's only the KIV Bayway when there's a major slowdown.
Exactly.
When things are moving fine.
Exactly.
It's not the KIV Bayway. Hey, want to get into some real news here in just a minute and talk about, you know, the vaccine mandates and this settlement for illegal immigrants that were separated, families that were separated at the border, and how much they're planning on paying to settle that.
And how many of them is there? Is it...
they said there were 900...
900 families who won the lottery, basically.
Basically, 940 claims so far.
And
big money. We'll get into that. But I found this really interesting, you know, off the heels of that conversation with Paul Feinbaum. And it's hard to believe Nick Saban turned 70 years old on Sunday. And Mike Rodak with AL.com wrote a story. Maybe a lot of you may have known about this. I did not know this.
Okay.
So for the longest time, really since 1939, there was an Alabama state law because, you know, Alabama being a public university, and Auburn too, coaches there are basically in the teacher's retirement system.
Okay.
Right? So there was a rule, and Rodak wrote about this. It said, any member in service who has attained age 70 shall be retired forthwith, provided that with the approval of his employer, he may remain in service until the end of the school year, blah, 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 blah. So from 1939 until 1981, it was a law that once you turned 70,
you had to quit. You were done. Okay.
Exactly. Well, in 1981, Bear Bryant was about to turn 68 years old, and the Senate was looking 2 years into the future, the Senate and the House in Montgomery. They're saying, well, we got to change this rule. We want Bear Bryant to coach as long as he is able and wants to coach. So the Senate voted 33-0 in 1981, and then the House approved it by a 73-8 margin. And they said, at its discretion, the University of Alabama's Board of Trustees may continue the employment of employees 70 years of age or older.
Changes just because of Bryant.
Just because of Bear Bryant. So I'm not sure how much longer that law would have lasted if there was no Bear Bryant at Alabama. You would think they would probably change it for Nick Saban if it was. They would have changed it, I'm sure, by now anyway. But that's a little bit of an interesting history lesson for me and maybe for some of you out there that Until 1981, if you were 70 years old, it was time to retire in the Alabama school system.
I was living in Athens, Georgia in 1981, and if I've got this right, or maybe maybe I've listened to living close to Athens. Maybe I was in radio in a small town, but I can't remember exactly. I remember reading the paper, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, at breakfast at a restaurant in Athens with Bryant's passing. Now, he coached in the Liberty Bowl. That was the last game he coached. He played Illinois. Alabama did not have a great year, so they ended up in the Liberty Bowl. It was cold and rainy in Memphis, and I remember it wasn't great weather. Dalton, it could not have been a month since, and he it was his last game, so everybody knew he was retiring. So, in fact, that law didn't mean anything to Bryant because he retired at the age of 68, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And within, I would say, a month of him coaching his final game, his health deteriorated to the point where he passed away.
That's amazing. That is absolutely
amazing. I mean, he was
amazing.
A coach for all those years, quits. And that's all the gas he had in his tank. It was over.
It was keeping him alive.
Keeping him alive.
And you see that with, not just, famous SEC coaches, but mm-hmm. so many people that once they stop working, if they don't find something to keep them moving, that ends up being the fate there. But a month, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
And it was a big deal. I mean, I'm in Athens. I'm not in Alabama, but I can't imagine what it meant and what kind of a story it was within the state of Alabama. It had to be just the biggest thing, and there were so many people so just amazingly sad about him passing away because so many citizens, fans, just felt like you knew the guy.
So it was a 21-15 win in the Liberty Bowl okay. over Illinois.
Right.
And he was asked when he retired what he was planning to do. He said, probably croak in a week. And it was 4 weeks
ago. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing.
So, I don't think it was that big a surprise to him. He and probably maybe some of his
major health issues. Yeah,
exactly. He and some of his medical people were probably aware that something was going on and it wasn't good. So that was probably why he, in fact, did retire. But the fact that he was gone 4 weeks?
Four weeks, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people loving your KIV Bayway, the naming of the Bayway.
But I like your twist, only when it's all messed up.
Only when it's slowed down. This person says, when I die, I want take the causeway on my tombstone. Jim says, no, don't take the causeway. I got to use the causeway. Don't take the causeway. I'm sure that's a song. I can't place it right now. Pete, why would the people of Alabama reelect a governor who refuses to protect the constitutional rights of Alabama workers? Governor Meemaw is MIA, and that's what we're going to talk about here. And what Governor Ron DeSantis is doing in Florida is what so many people in Alabama wanted to see Governor Kay Ivey do, rather than pass Jeff Poor calls the toothless
yep.
Executive action.
There's no doubt that it is. It's just political whatever, but it does really nothing. And I don't know. I don't know why she did it.
So there were apparently some employees of Austell and others from down here who drove up to Montgomery on a bus mm-hmm. yesterday to protest as the special session commenced. But yesterday, the state of Florida, the Attorney General Ashley Moody and Governor Ron DeSantis filed a lawsuit suing President Joe Biden, NASA, and officials within the White House Office of Management and Budget and the DOD, the Department of Defense, over these vaccine mandates. And we all know these mandates. They said that workers had to be fully vaccinated by December 8th. Now, the administration is waffling on that a bit. They mm-hmm. said they're not going to hold a hard line there. And we can get into exactly how that waffling is going there. But Ron DeSantis, whether it's the beginning of the pandemic and I mean, Governor Ivey, it's been apparent that she's following in the footsteps of DeSantis. And at one point, Governor Brian Kemp in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And so many Alabamians are like, be a little bit more yeah. like him. Be a little bit more on the offense.
Aggressive, exactly. It's 8:30 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, good morning.
FM Talk 106.5 coming to the phones and text here in a minute, 343-0106. Right now, I want to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing good here at the FM Talk studios, and I want to know what's going on at McConnell this weekend. A big weekend ahead.
That's right. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. We've got trucks, cars, everything out there on the website at McConnellAutomotive.com. We're going to be open hope everybody has a safe Halloween. We're going to be open Saturday, have the games on. Got a few good games coming on, too. And like I said, you can check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. If you see anything you like, you want to ask us any questions, give us a call, 251-476-4141. Don't forget, we got the greatest body shop in Mobile. Thomas Hines back there running it now. I mean, they're doing great things back there. You need to check that out if you have that unfortunate accident. So just come by and see us. We're just sitting in the beautiful Midtown Mobile on Dolphin Street, east of I-65. And like I said, give us a call if you got any questions on any inventory or any service work, 251-476-4141.
All right. We appreciate your time this morning, Louie.
Hey, y'all have a safe weekend. Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
837, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Where are we going here?
We have to talk about this. I think it was such a big story from the Wall Street Journal yesterday, and maybe some of you aren't seeing it the same way I am. This just seems like a massive, massive story. I mentioned it right as Midday Mobile was wrapping up yesterday. Dan and Sean and I were in here, and the alert popped up on my phone, and I was like, ooh, this is going to cause some issues.
Well, it sounds almost like, when you read the details to the story, it sounds like it's April Fool's,
mm-hmm.
Or it sounds like it is a mistake.
Yeah.
It sounds like, we got all that wrong. Our bad. No, here's really what the agreement is. But if read the story and give the details, because it's hard to believe.
So we all know, of course, how things have been going on the border for well over a decade now. And while Trump was in office, you know, the media and AOC and everyone was saying, you know, they're keeping the kids in cages. Can you believe this? And everything. The world was ending, basically, at the mm-hmm. border with the Trump administration, when so many people were like, hey, you know, Obama had the same thing going on. They had the kids in cages. They started the thing. Well, Wall Street Journal yesterday says the Biden administration is in talks to offer immigrant families that were separated during the Trump administration, separated at the border, around $450,000 per person in compensation, nearly $500,000 per person. They're working right now to resolve lawsuits. The Department of Justice, Homeland Security, and Health and Human Services are resolving these lawsuits that were filed on behalf of parents and children who say the government subjected them to lasting psychological trauma. And at $450,000 per person, and most of these families amounting to one parent and one child, it could be close to $1 million a family. Now, people that are familiar with the negotiations said that the final numbers could shift. Many families would likely get smaller payouts depending on their circumstances. The American Civil Liberties Union is representing – there's multiple lawsuits out there, but okay. The ACLU is representing families in one of those lawsuits. They said there were about 5,500 children separated at the border over the 4 years of the Trump term, and the number of families eligible under the potential settlement is expected to be much smaller. So far, around 940 claims have been filed so far by those families, but even still at that number, payout could be well over $1 billion.
This is astounding.
It's a they're settling, right?
Yeah.
And
they're trying to keep it from being more.
And if you take the, you know, if you take the DOJ and Homeland Security under the Biden administration at their word, that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, you can have them.
If it went to court, they feel that possibly juries would award more money to those families. But I mean, I say this almost sarcastically, are we taking them at their word? Like, is that truly a settlement, or are these big payouts intentional? Do they really think that as they kind of looked into this, is it really possible that these juries would award a larger payout than $450,000 per person?
Unreal.
I mean, look at some of the biggest lawsuits. I mean, of course, there have been multi-million dollar payouts in lawsuits across America, but a vast majority of lawsuits filed by Americans that had been wronged pay out a lot less than $450,000.
These are illegal immigrants whose first act in the United States was illegal.
Right, yeah.
So their first act in the United States was coming here, right? Is that illegal? If you're illegal immigrant?
Cross the border illegally, yeah.
It's okay, so you cross the border illegally. So your first action in this country is that. These are the children and the families that were separated. only, right? That's
correct, yeah.
So who gave them the idea, hey, you know what, there's some money here for you? Who walked up to these people, who many might not even speak the language, and introduced them to the idea of, this could be a big windfall for you. This is like winning the lottery.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure that there were some activist agencies that reached out, and they were on top of this from the beginning. And, you know, I am empathetic to the children, mm-hmm. and to some of the family. I mean, they're looking for a better life, right? And
well, this is a better life.
Yeah.
$1 million per family is a better life than I've ever been awarded, sure.
And, you know, we've talked in the past about the ACLU and their true priorities. I mean, you take their name, American Civil Liberties Union, and what they decide to speak up on and what they don't decide to, there are many civil liberties of Americans that are being trampled on right now. And, you know, they're representing illegal aliens. The ACLU. Yeah. I'm not sure how that works out.
American.
Right.
Is their first name, right?
Exactly.
And they're representing illegal immigrants. That in itself doesn't, you know, that's not crazy. But the idea of this $1 million payout per family is
crazy.
Absurd.
Yeah, yeah, it's absurd. And I could see this definitely being used in upcoming elections. I mean, if you didn't think that conservatives had enough firepower already, if they settle here and you see ads that are running that the Biden administration mm-hmm. paid $1 million to each family that crossed the border illegally, and that spells trouble for the Democrats, but it kind of just shows you right now where the priorities are. I'd love to see a true breakdown from a nonpartisan legal scholar who and maybe we can get someone on here over this next week or 2 weeks.
I like to talk to somebody nonpartisan anything. Nonpartisan guy playing with a Frisbee. I'd like to talk to him.
Someone who can kind of look into this and say, well, yeah, actually, America would be getting off easy paying $450,000 per person. I just find that so hard to believe that's where you settle, right? $100,000, $50,000. I don't know. Texter here says, put this into perspective. A fallen soldier's family only receives $400,000. That
I didn't know it bad.
Think about that. Tony says they think South America and North America is all one America. Kelly says, break the law, get a check. Sounds great. WTF.
And it's not just a check.
No.
$450,000.
It's one of those big,
per person.
One of those massive winner's checks
yeah.
they're going to pass out there that are like, you know, 10 feet long.
Is Ed McMahon still around? Is he gonna... and you can't even knock on their door because I don't think they've got a home yet.
Right.
So
they're going to have a pretty nice home.
Yeah, how do you deliver the check?
Sure. Yeah. So that's, to me, a major story that they're thinking of settling with illegal immigrants. Again, $450,000 per person.
I'm gonna look for that kind of settlement with my air fryer manufacturer because it took me way too long. So I got excited because I got the air fryer. I'm trying to eat healthier. That's the idea behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought if I get the air fryer, right?
Right. I'm
so
following
you. I kept putting it off. If I get the air fryer, then certainly I will begin to
eat healthier.
You know, look at, so I, first thing I do, I look at air fryer stuff on YouTube and I'm like, okay, let me give me an idea what I can make tonight. Mm-hmm. I've got these chicken tenders that have been sitting in the because I don't eat healthy, they've been sitting in the freezer since August.
Ah,
I think so
nice and aged.
So I see a chicken tender recipe on YouTube. And you don't use oil, but you bread them and you coat them with a little mustard or something so that the breadcrumbs stick to it.
Mm, healthy.
Yeah, but it's better than the oily fried, right? So anyway, I do all of that. But first of all, the warnings, it took me a half hour to read all the warnings on the thing. So it's like I've got this nuclear reactor sitting in my kitchen right now, according to the manufacturer.
Yeah.
It might as well be a nuclear reactor. So I get through reading all the warnings and do this and don't do this and my gosh, don't ever do this. Then when I finally put the chicken in there
mm-hmm.
on the YouTube recipe video, it was, you know, everything happened so quickly, you know, in 10 minutes, flip them and they get brand on both sides and whatever. So it took 10 minutes in all on YouTube.
Right. How long did it take you?
35 minutes, maybe. Just everything was way out of whack. I read the warnings that I read about what could happen with this air fryer, if I operated incorrectly, almost forced me to just say, you know what? I'm just taking it back.
Yeah.
But anyway, the air fryer lives. The chicken took a long time, and I will learn, I suppose.
You didn't realize you were putting your life on the line.
846 FM Talk 106.5. You know, Moms is starting their virtual Citizens Water Academy here real soon. I'm going to be one of their ambassadors, but it's not just for me. It's for anybody. If you want to be an ambassador, you want to learn more about what Moms does around the city, what's happening out at Big Creek Lake, their ability to meet our water needs, how the systems are built and maintained. All of that is available to you, and I'm going to look forward to learning it so I can become a Moms ambassador. It's the Keep Water Working campaign. It's really cool. If you want to join, do what I did. Just took a couple of seconds. Go to Moms.com, click on Education and Outreach, then Citizens Water Academy, and you can find out how. So it was actually kind of quicker for me. Just go online to Moms.com, and you'll see the Citizens Water Academy. Click it, sign up. It'll just take a moment. And then they're going to get back to all of us and put us in this virtual academy. Pretty neat. It's something they've done actually face-to-face in the past, and they've had big crowds that have joined up. So now it's going to be online. Again, Moz.com is where you find out your opportunity to do this. And for the latest information on Moz, go to YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter.
852 FM Talk 106.5. Going to the phone lines 251-343-0106 with the new area code rules.
Right.
And let's talk with Clint. Good morning, Clint.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good, man. Right? How are you?
Doing pretty good. I tuned in like maybe 10 minutes ago. I guess I caught the back half of that immigration or illegal immigrant discussion.
Yes, sir.
And you said, I think I heard you right, you said they're going to pay $1 million to every illegal immigrant that comes across the border?
No.
No, this has got to do with families who were separated in the past and filed a claim.
So families separated at the border during the Trump administration.
The part I thought was just you said for every illegal immigrant who comes across the border.
I did not say that.
Nope. Nice try. Anything else?
$450,000. Per person that filed a claim settlement, right. They're talking. Could be more, could be less, but that's the number they're talking about right now.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
All right. Clear that up. 343-0106.
He was on hold for 10 minutes for that.
Yeah. I mean, very clearly did not say that when we were discussing
it. No.
And also the other big story, of course, these vaccine mandates. And we kind of mentioned this earlier with DeSantis and how they are, you know, again, Florida taking the lead in the fight against the Biden administration, and had a lawsuit that they filed. Attorney General Ashley Moody, Governor Ron DeSantis, and they filed this against Biden, NASA, the NASA administrator, also officials in the White House Office of Management and Budget, and the DOD.
So, by the way, I think I was thinking, okay, NASA probably because the biggest federal employer in the state of Florida. All right, how often do we have anything happen at Cape Canaveral? It's not very often, is it?
Not. I don't think they're as active as they used to be, but more going on now than there was a decade ago, for sure.
11,000 people work at NASA in the state of Florida. 11,000 people.
That would be...
What are they doing?
Yeah.
How many
people there are talking about?
So 11,000, first of all, the mandate's going to affect them just as it's affecting Austral here in town. But at the same time, I'm a little curious as to what 11,000 people are doing on the payroll when we're not going to the moon all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think if we didn't have people working at NASA, it would be certainly frowned upon with the work that Russia and China and some of these other countries are doing.
Fair enough.
And I will say, you know, NASA is a governmental organization, mm-hmm. so it's not the same as, you know, suing on behalf of Walmart or something,
right,
like that,
right?
But and you could kind of compare it to Austal with the government contracts they have, although you could say NASA much more ingrained in the
right, they're part of the government, whereas Austal's got these government contracts, mm-hmm. and also because they've got over 100 employees, closer to 4,000, they ring the bell on that as well. They check that box.
But I think what people and the people that like DeSantis, what they like about this is that they're, you know, stepping forward, and you compare that to Governor Kay Ivey's executive action at the beginning of the week, which was really kind of a non-action. It was more of a, we don't want to talk about this during the special session, so I'm going to float this out there. that anyone in the executive branch of the Alabama state government doesn't have to get that mandate. But, it didn't apply to other people in the state.
It doesn't apply nearly to anybody.
What's really happening is the attorney general and the state are waiting for a lawsuit to come about that they can, jump on.
Piggyback.
Florida is jumping in feet first and going after it. But I had some stats earlier from the Kaiser Family Foundation. They did this poll. And how bad could it get? And the White House is waffling now. The Waffle House. The White House is waffling now.
The K-way. On the text line, the K-I-V Bayway.
On the December 8th deadline for these mandates, they're saying, let me see. The exact words were flexibility. They said deadlines are not cliffs. So they're kind of, stepping back from that December 8th hard deadline. But the Kaiser Family Foundation did this poll, and what they found was that for companies that are saying you either have to be vaccinated or take weekly COVID tests, 37% of unvaccinated workers said they'll quit. So that's when they're given the option, vaccinated or weekly COVID tests. 37% of unvaccinated workers said they would quit. They asked if your employer mandates vaccines and don't offer the testing option. They either say, vaccine or
that's it.
You're gone.
Yeah.
72% of the unvaccinated workers said they would quit. So obviously that means 28% would then follow through and go ahead and get vaccinated. But how does that apply, nationwide? 80 million U.S. workers. They said that if those numbers stayed true, 5 to 9% of workers would leave their jobs, depending on what rules they face.
Are they given that option? Is there a test involved in the?
That's a great question. I would. I'm not even going to answer because I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe someone could tell us if you work at Austell or at this point worked at Austell. Would you? Were you given the option for testing instead? And if so, did that change your mind at all? I'm not sure about that. But that's a pretty big span, between 5 to 9%, that would be almost, catastrophic, especially kind of what we're already facing. And that number is exactly why I think the White House is starting to step back from that number a little bit and say, maybe we need to rethink this and see what happens with the workforce.
Unnamed texter, by the way, says, makes me wonder about the lawsuit at the border. Will the lawsuit include children separated during the Obama administration? Because you said this, the history that goes far
further back
than
Trump administration, for sure. Right. And Keith and others saying, yeah, it's nearly $1 million per family. And that's what we laid out as well. So they said most of these families are one parent and one child that cross the border.
Right.
And then at that average, $450,000 per person, then you work your way up to about $1 million per family that filed a claim.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be, I think, next week, that'll be even bigger news than it is right now.
It's big news right now.
It's big news right now, exactly.
All right, Jeff's on the way. He's got Tripp Pittman, former state senator, also Alabama Today's April Marie Fogle. Talk 99.5 and 1819 News, Matt Murphy, and State Senator Chris Elliott in the 11 o'clock hour heading toward noon.
Don't forget, Auburn football pregame begins at 3 o'clock tomorrow and then kickoff at 6 as the Tigers hosting number 10 ranked Ole Miss. Don't miss it.
Dan and Dalton, talk to you Monday, FM Talk 106.5.